The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. The special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. That's right. Stay four nights, receive the fifth night free in an All-Star Disney area vacation home or condo. And this is just for a limited time. You can choose from a 2 to a 14-bedroom vacation home, townhome, or condo. It has amenities like private pools, spas, multiple master bedrooms, game rooms, home theaters, and even themed kids' bedrooms. Take advantage of this special. Call 1-866-385-5384. And for more information, you can visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com. Welcome to the Best of the Mickey Mouse Podcast. It's been the Best of Mickey Mouse Podcast week here. And from time to time, we will bring back episodes which we have found everyone to really enjoy. And sometimes we'll bring back ones that we feel are very important. And one was recorded approximately 1 year ago. I think it was episode 107. And we had special guest Steve Barrett, who has written the Hidden Mickeys books. And Steve is also an emergency room doctor. And the three of us, Michelle, Steve, and myself, we talked about dehydration and the dangers of dehydration when you run a race. So with race season in at its peak right now, with everyone running, we thought it would be a good time to remind everyone about the importance of making sure that you're hydrated. So with that, we bring you the Best of the Mickey Miles Podcast and a rebroadcast of episode 107, broadcast October 2nd, 2013, with the title Avoiding Dehydration and Hidden Mickeys During Run Disney Events.
Hi, this is Matthew Millhiser, also known as Hokey Boy, from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I listen to Mike and Michelle on the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Ron Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 107 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show is, as always, Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle, when we post the show, we will be in Walt Disney World.
Yes, I can't wait. We'll be at the expo. We'll have picked up our numbers and getting ready to for the Tower of Terror 10 miler. Can't wait. So I guess I better pull out my shorts again because I hear it's really warm in Orlando. We can ask our guest today how warm it is.
That's true. Can't be any warmer than it was last year when we ran this.
That's true. I have a shout out before we move on. It's to one of our listeners whose name is Sean Goddick, and he ran in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, the House on Hands Children's Museum Half Marathon. So I love that. So congratulations, Sean, and I love children's museums, and thank you for supporting them. Yay!
Hey. We have a very, very special guest and a very, very special topic today for our show. And let me, before I introduce our guest, I'll tell you a little bit about him. And by the time I get to his name, I think everybody will know who we're talking about. He is very much a famous Disney author. He has brought to the forefront something that we all love to do in the Disney theme parks, and that is looking for something that we call Hidden Mickeys. He has put out he just released the sixth edition of his book called Hidden Mickeys, A Field Guide to Walt Disney's World Best Kept Secrets. He also has the fourth edition out of Disneyland's Hidden Mickeys, A Field Guide to Disneyland's resort's best kept secrets, and that also includes Carsland. And he also has, this is his second edition of the Hidden Mickeys Go to Sea. And he also has a Hidden Mickeys Disneyland iPhone app and a Walt Disney World iPhone and Android app. If you haven't guessed.
Wait a second. Now, you forgot one other thing that he can put on his resume. He is our good friend.
He is our good friend.
He and his wife, Vicky, are our good friends.
Spent many, many wonderful minutes and days with them in Orlando and at several other places, too, in New York City and a few other places. I guess, you know, we all know who we're talking about. We're talking about the one, the only, Dr. Steve Barrett. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's always great to talk to you, Michelle and Mike.
Thanks for coming on the show, Steve.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
My first question is, what is the temperature like now in Orlando? Because we're about to go run the Tower of Terror 10-miler. Should I bring shorts?
Yeah, it's fairly warm. We certainly have not had any cool downs yet. So it's remained in the 80s and fairly humid. We've had a lot of rain the last month or so. In Orlando, so it's been humid.
So I think our topic is going to be timely, right, Mike?
That is correct. And before we get into this topic, I think it'd be important to make a little tie to why we have brought Steve on. He is Dr. Steve Barrett, and there's a reason for that, and that is Steve's daytime job is not going around looking for hidden Mickeys. His daytime job is that of a physician. And Steve, would you be so kind as to describe to our audience what your daytime job is?
Well, for most of my life, it was working in emergency rooms. And recently, I've scaled back a bit in the last couple of years, and I work in what are called urgent care centers, which are popping up pretty much all over the country as a more convenient access to medical care than an ER might be. And usually less expensive than an ER. So I spend my day seeing patients in an urgent care center.
So, Steve, I don't know if you remember this. We've had many conversations over the years, but I don't know, 1 or 2 years ago, before we started this podcast, I was asking you about, you know, what sort of things that you see people for when you when you practice medicine in Florida, are there special things that you see all the time? And you kind of mentioned this topic that we're going to talk about, which is dehydration. And Mike, do you want to talk about your story about dehydration that kind of brought us to the place where we have to have Steve on the show?
Well, I don't know how well known this is, but first off, I always considered myself a camel when it came to running. In all the years that I've run, I've run 45 years now. I've been running, and I've always gone out without any water until maybe 2009 was the first year I started going out with a water belt. And I always was able to handle it. Even now, I go out and I come back, and most of my water is still in my belt sometimes, and sometimes it isn't. But when we were out in Disneyland, we were doing the Disneyland Dumbo Double Dare. Something kind of interesting happened to me the night before flying home, and that is I had a really strange feeling while standing in line for Space Mountain. And I remember saying to you, Michelle, I don't know if I can go on this attraction right now. I'm feeling kind of nauseous. I'm feeling like all kinds of weird feelings. And so
this is after we'd done the races.
Right, and I had felt fine with the races, no problem at all. That night, I had a very difficult time sleeping, and the next morning, I just felt disoriented for a while and just felt very uncomfortable. Flew home and continued having issues, and I came to the realization that I was suffering, I guess I'd call it moderate to, on maybe the tough end of moderate dehydration, and that was the first time that anything like that had ever happened to me. And so talking with Michelle, we thought that this might be something that should be brought to everyone's attention, especially when you're talking about the Run Disney brand. Because here's the tie-in. The Run Disney brand means you're running at a Disney, at a Run Disney event that's either in Florida or it's in California. Warm weather locations. So we thought we should talk about that. And that's where Steve comes in. Steve being a physician, an emergency care physician, he has all kinds of experience seeing this. And I also believe that Steve may have also experienced this himself. So we brought Steve on to help us discuss this. And Steve, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk about this very important topic.
Well, thank you. It is an important topic. And one reason I say that is because it can be a sneaky problem. And runners and people who exercise, people who walk around Disney World, can get excited about what they're doing and forget the simple things, which is like one would be drinking water and maybe not listen to their body. And before you know it, it hits you like a ton of bricks. It happened to me, Mike, too. I had a similar experience. I was looking for Hidden Mickeys in Fort Wilderness one warm afternoon, and I decided to get my exercise by taking the long trail from Fort Wilderness to the Wilderness Lodge. And then I took a boat over to Contemporary because, again, one of my favorite things to do is to get a cappuccino somewhere. And one place would be the Contemporary. So I drank coffee. and I was meeting my publisher at Raglan Road for dinner. And by that time, I was feeling punky, just like what you described. And I was sitting there in the restaurant, and all of a sudden, I overwhelming nausea. And I told my guests, "Hey, I have to go." So I went out and I laid down in the back seat of my car for an hour and a half. I could not even sit up, much less drink anything, because that's the irony of some cases dehydration is that your stomach will not accept fluid when you're really far gone like that. So. Yes. You know, so I was able to make it home and pop ice chips for several hours in my mouth and slowly rehydrate myself. But yeah, you're right, Mike. It's scary. We as human beings have to be alert for dehydration because, you know, we say the word dehydration and people, yeah, they know what it is and they understand it and you have to drink water and all, but it can be a sneaky illness, and it can really hit you like a ton of bricks, and you don't know what happened. You know, you're disoriented, like you say, and it can be very serious. I've seen a lot of patients over the years in emergency rooms. For example, I remember one marathon runner who thought he was going to be macho and run the whole race without drinking anything.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and he was just dry as a bone and couldn't stand up, and he wasn't thinking clearly. So, you know, of course, in the ER, we have the, you know, we can pump people with intravenous fluids and rehydrate them very quickly. But still, as you mentioned, Mike, there is damage to the body, and it may take you several days to even recover from that. So, yeah, it's quite dangerous.
So, Steve, would you say that the first signs of dehydration are different in different people? I know you and Mike were talking about feeling nauseous and dehydrated. Could it be a headache? What are the different signs that people should know that, okay, something might be wrong here?
It's interesting you say that because everybody is different. And everybody, you probably know this, but everybody's fluid requirements are different. And through the same race, even similar body habitus, they may have different fluid needs. So, but yes, the early signs are generally going to be, signs and symptoms will be nausea, weakness, maybe dizziness, and headache. And, you know, basically you feel like I've got to go lay down somewhere or I can't continue what I'm doing. So it's, that you may be behind the eight ball by then. By the way, it's quite late in the game when you develop these symptoms.
But behind the eight ball, meaning that you should seek medical help. Or you should just really force the fluids.
Right. If you can drink, then absolutely that's what you should do. And hopefully you will be able to drink, and hopefully your stomach will accept fluids at that point. If you cannot drink, then you're in trouble. And like what I did is start ice chips, and that worked. Because you can absorb fluid through your mouth, and just getting ice or fluid in your mouth and holding it there, you're going to get some fluid into your blood vessels. But and then start drinking whenever your stomach says okay.
Yeah, I actually had it once when I had a strep throat, and they admitted me to the hospital for 3 days. I was on fluids for 3 days. It can be very, very serious.
Yes, it can be, and. You know, again, we've learned a lot about exertional athletics over the last 10 or 15 years. And, you know, I remember it used to be that the dictum was drink before you're thirsty. And maybe there's some truth to that. Again, everybody's different. But really, the evidence recently has been, well, you know, thirst is a pretty important sign for your body to tell you, and you don't necessarily need to pile on fluids, because some people drink too much. Some people overhydrate, and that can be as serious as dehydration. So so listening to the first sign of thirst is a good indication that you do need to drink. You know during a marathon. Or whenever you're exerting yourself anywhere.
You know, Steve, I was a baseball coach for about 40 years, and I coached baseball during the summer and softball, and I remember coaching some teenage boys in Babe Ruth, and I recall there was one year where I was concerned because it was a very, very warm summer, and I wanted to make sure that I was doing whatever I could to make sure that the boys would be okay, and I remember reading up on this. And I remember reading something that said, you know, if you're going to have a day that you're going to be dealing with a lot of heat and humidity, you don't just drink the night before. You need to hydrate your body cells as much as possible, as much as 72 hours before the day that you think you're going to be subjected to that heat and humidity. So if I had a real doubleheader weekend coming up on a Saturday and a Sunday, on Wednesday I would tell the boys, you need to start drinking now. I don't need to have the water in your belly. I need you to have all that hydration throughout your body cells. Is that what we're trying to do when we're fighting dehydration? Is that the kind of preparation we need to look at when we are approaching something like a marathon on a very warm day?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. And again, it's not necessary to overdo it. The way you know when you're getting enough fluid, and the other reason, by the way, to drink a lot, and this is for everybody, is that, again, we've had good evidence over the last few years that it's just good for your kidneys. It's good to flush your kidneys constantly with fluid. So a good way to monitor that is if you have to urinate fairly frequently. You know, then you know that, okay, I'm getting enough fluid. Your body's going to be happy with that amount of fluid, especially before, you know, several days before a big race or a big event or a hot sport.
And it's the color, too, of when you go, too. If it's darker, you're in trouble.
Correct.
Or correct. If it continues to get darker, if it's lighter, you're okay. So, you know, in the story that you told, I thought it was really interesting because you made a point of talking about how you had had a cappuccino, and I'm assuming that you're talking about the fact that you were kind of on your way already and you had a diuretic. So
that's right.
Are there things that you would recommend that people, you know, if they're going to run, like, you know, the Tower of Terror race and the wine and dine, it's still going to be warm. Are there things that they should avoid day of race to make sure that they're getting all the fluid they need, like coffee?
I think you probably should avoid coffee and certainly alcohol, because they will cause a diuresis and a loss of fluid. So yes, I think it's a good idea to avoid diuretics like caffeine and alcohol for sure.
Steve, on the other hand, what type of, I would say fluids and liquids and maybe even foods that we could look towards to help us deal with a day in which we're going to be you know, doing some heavy duty exercise in the sun? What kind of fluids and what kind of foods would help us?
Well, again, and many of your listeners, and you probably know this as well, but drinking pure water through an exertional event like that is not necessarily good. So the sports drinks have actually proven to be more helpful than water, especially if you're running or if your event is lasting, you know, longer than 30 or 45 minutes. Because you need the carbohydrate and electrolytes that are in sports drinks. So the sports drinks make a lot of sense. There's even evidence that you don't necessarily need to alternate the sports drink with water, although you can. But in the last part of your exertional event, the sports drink becomes more important, is what the research is telling me.
That's what I've heard too. So, you know, somebody's running the race, and what are the signs maybe when they're running? Is it all the same things that we talked about before? Like, what would be the time at which you would tell somebody, okay, this is time to stop now, this is not good for you to go on? Because sometimes when people are running, if it's warm, they can feel that nausea feeling anyway. But if you were advising somebody and they got to mile 8 and you saw what would you? What are the things that you would see that you'd say, okay, you might need to wrap it up for this one?
Well, the most dramatic symptoms would be severe dizziness and disorientation. Somebody acting, you've heard of runners basically just take off in the wrong direction, you know, or do something totally out of character for them. That's probably the most serious thing that, you know, on-site medical personnel would be looking for, is the behavior, and or if the patient says they're so dizzy they can't stand up anymore. Those are the more serious symptoms to look for, and vomiting. I mean, you know, nausea and vomiting can occur too.
Steve, is there a reason why when we first feel this coming on that we cannot intake any fluids? Because you were describing that, and I remember saying to Michelle, I just don't feel like drinking anything, but I think I'm dehydrated. Is there something that the body's doing that is making us feel that way?
Well, it's probably part of the neurologic response to dehydration, hypotension, and even early shock. You know, when we say shock, that's we're talking about a lot of the symptoms of shock. Although shock can occur from, you know, profuse bleeding or other reasons besides dehydration. But I think part of the neurologic response is what affects the stomach and the intestines, so that they, you know, they're not getting the blood supply that the more important organs are getting. I mean, the body shunts the blood to, you know, the organs that are important and away from the intestinal tract. So the stomach just is not doing what it should.
I remember when I had it too, they said, I went to the ER and they said my blood pressure was 90 over 60. So yeah, I was sick. Okay, so let's turn our attention to something else that we can talk about with you, because I think this was really interesting. Mike and I, you know, love the Hidden Mickeys, and we want to talk about this too. And we one of the things that we talk about with runners is how difficult it can be at Walt Disney World to stay off your feet when a race is coming. And so we thought it might be interesting to ask you, if runners wanted to go to the place at Walt Disney World that they could walk the least and see the most hidden Mickeys, where's the highest concentration in your opinion?
conservation station at Rafiki's Planet Watch in Disney's Animal Kingdom.
I thought I was going to stump you, Steve.
you didn't
even skip a beat on that one.
Oh, my goodness. No, I tell people, well, it's because I tell people that frequently, you know, you want to get a taste of Hidden Mickey's, that's, you know, that's where you need to go. You don't have to walk very much or walk very far. And they're just all around you. It's just a wonderful place for Hidden Mickeys. And I don't know if I told you the story about one of the artists who painted that mural called me a few years ago. And he lives in California, but he was working on Rafiki's Planet Watch Conservation Station. And there was some water damage at one point to the lower part of the mural. And so he was repainting the lower part of the mural, and he was almost done, and the night janitor came up to him and said, you know, you're doing a pretty good job, but you left out the Hidden Mickeys. And the artist went, oh my gosh, I have to go back and repaint this. So it was a good, but the conservation station is a wonderful place. Plus the resorts, Animal Kingdom Lodge and Wilderness Lodge, filled with Hidden Mickeys. Just wonderful resorts to just plop yourself down and enjoy yourself and look for Hidden Mickeys in the resorts.
Well, I have to say that we use, as you know, my son Liam, who is a huge admirer of yours, we use the iPhone app, and we were there for a bit in August, and he's just ticking them off on the iPhone app, I'll tell you. Mike will tell you, he goes methodically through, and then
he
has questions. He says, I have to ask Steve about this, and I need to see if Steve, I'm not sure of this one. We're going to have to talk to Steve. So
I remember when you and Liam sent me the Hidden Mickey at Shark Reef in Typhoon Lagoon. You remember, you're snorkeling over, and there's a Hidden Mickey on the bottom. Usually it's there. It's not always there, or sometimes it's moved around. But I remember I was proud of you for seeing that one.
Did you check it out?
Oh, yes. It's a good one. It's a very good Hidden Mickey. They usually maintain it, you know.
Oh, that's good.
It's like the Hidden Mickey rocks in the bottom of the aquarium at the Seas with Nemo Pavilion. Those rocks move around from time to time, and sometimes they're disturbed, but the cast members generally are aware and in tune with the Hidden Mickey game, and they try to preserve or maintain those Hidden Mickeys that can be damaged.
So, Steve, for those who may not know, you have a website called HiddenMickeyGuy.com, and on that site, fans of Hidden Mickeys can submit what they feel would be a Hidden Mickey. And I was wondering if you could tell our audience, we've talked about this many times, you and I have had a lot of discussions about this, what is the definition of a Hidden Mickey, and what are the requirements for something to be considered as a Hidden Mickey?
A Hidden Mickey or another hidden Disney character, could be a Goofy or a Donald Duck, is an image of that character that is designed to blend into the surroundings so that it's hard to see. Now, we have a lot of debate about the three-circle Mickey, which is the head and ears, what I call the classic Mickey. And most Hidden Mickeys are the three-circle variety. Those images sometimes are too obvious. Maybe they're decorative and not hidden. So we on my website, I have a questionable section where people can vote on especially some of these three-circle Mickey images. But a side profile of Mickey Mouse or an image of Goofy or Donald Duck, there's not much debate about that. If it's hidden in the design of wherever you're at, in an attraction or a shop, then it's definitely, I would consider that a hidden Mickey. So, and they're always popping up. Over the last 10 years that I've been doing the Hidden Mickey game, the rate of hidden Mickeys has been new hidden Mickeys has been constant, and there's at Walt Disney World is probably on the average of one or two new good hidden Mickeys a month.
So, you know, I think for runners, it's probably difficult for them to stop and give the attention to looking for a hidden Mickey. But I'm wondering if people are running down Main Street or running through the castle, is there anywhere that they could stop and quickly find a hidden Mickey?
Main Street, a really good one on Main Street is in the Aladdin display, outside display window of the Emporium shop. And there's a small, even tiny hidden Mickey window, three circle, perfectly proportioned. And by the way, Mike had asked about what is a hidden Mickey. I like of course, the head to be larger than the ears. I don't like three circles of the same size, although we debate about those. But this image in the Aladdin display is a perfectly proportioned hidden Mickey, three circle Mickey, recessed in the second row of buildings, and you have to look between the cracks of the building to find it. But that's definitely a worthwhile one to find. And by the way, when you're running down Sunset Boulevard, I was thinking of that because of the Tower of Terror run coming up. Do you know about the hidden Mickey stamp in the cement? Because that's worth stopping to look for. This stamp has become a little more difficult to see over the years as the cement gets worn down, but it's a stamp in the cement that says Mortimer and Company, 1928, in reference to Mickey's birth year, and his first name, Mortimer. So,
where is it, Steve?
It's on Sunset Boulevard. It's in four places. It's at one end of Sunset Boulevard, and it's on the sidewalk near Hollywood Boulevard. And it's also at the other end of Sunset Boulevard. One is near the entrance to the Fantasmic show. And across the street, the other one is close to the walkway to Rock and Roller Coaster. But there, you know, I would suggest if you – that's one of my really favorite hidden Mickeys at Disney's Hollywood Studios. So if the runners can slow down and look for this thing, it's worth finding. We're trying to find.
Just carefully so you don't have a pile up.
Right.
Or we will need to call Dr. Steve Barrett to help all the injured runners. So, Steve, can you tell us one of the things I noticed is that your books are now available. Well, I'm sure they have been for a while, but I was very proud to see that your books are available at Disneyland, all over Disney World, and the resorts. When did your latest version of when did Edition 6 come out for Disney World?
Earlier this year in the spring, it became available. And it includes the new Fantasyland, which and this is an example of how the science of hidden Mickeys has grown. But the Imagineers had just did an amazing job with the hidden Mickeys in the new Fantasyland. They're some of the best ones in any Disney park anywhere. And my current favorite one, for example, is the once a year hidden Mickey. That, and you can imagine the research the Imagineers had to do for this one. But in the queue of the Little Mermaid ride, they put holes in the ceiling of the cave. This is in the cavern part of the entrance queue, and they put holes in the ceiling such that on November 18th at noon, the sun would shine through those holes just right to make a three circle Mickey line image on the wall. And if you happen to be there on November 18th, please look for it, because last November 18th, I think they were having soft openings of New Fantasyland, and some of the cast members sent me photos of it.
So you're going to be there this year?
I'm going to try to. But that's an amazing hidden Mickey. You know, just the effort that and the research that went into making that happen is It just blew me away.
That's very cool. You have to look into the rising and setting of the sun and, yeah.
Right.
And modeling that, that's cool.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, I think this has been a perfect show because we've talked about dehydration and we've talked about how to deal with it and we've also talked about hidden Mickeys, and I can't think of a better way to ward off dehydration and to relax before a 10-miler at night than to walk around with Steve's book or Steve's app and look for these hidden Mickeys. And for those who want to know more about Steve's hidden Mickey adventures, you should visit his site. It's hiddenmickeyguy.com, and you can also submit what you may think is a hidden Mickey to Steve on that site, and you can also vote. And Steve, I saw one that you posted today, and I think it is a hidden Mickey, or at least I think the Imagineers intended for it to be a hidden Mickey, the one at a Bugs Land. The
yes.
Bugs Land sign.
I they think like that one.
Okay. Yeah, I think the intention was for that to be
okay.
Hidden Mickey. So I want to thank Michelle, and I would love to. We want to thank you for coming on the show, and
My pleasure.
Looking forward to seeing you possibly at reunion, and
yes.
Please give our best to your wonderful wife, Vicky, who is one of my favorite people.
I will.
And we'll be talking to you soon. Michelle, any last words?
Just thank you, Steve. It's always fun to chat with you on the air or off the air. And I miss seeing you. And I really appreciate you coming
here.
On the show.
Well, stay healthy and hydrated.
We will. We will. Thanks.
And you know, Steve, I think one more thing. I think I'm going to circle November 18th. And maybe, just maybe, I'll meet you in the Magic Kingdom on November 18th.
All right, Mike. I'll put that down on my book.
You guys just hydrate, okay?
That's right. We'll hydrate. That'll be right after the half marathon, right, Michelle? Yeah.
Wine
and dine.
A week after. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So for Dr. Steve Barrett, for Michelle Scribner-McClellan, well, I have two doctors on the show with me today. For Dr. Steve Barrett and for Dr. Michelle Scribner-McClellan, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Mouse Podcast has been brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing you premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. This special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you would get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. That's right. Stay four nights, receive the fifth night free in an All-Star Disney Area vacation home or condo, and this is just for a limited time. You can choose from a 2 to a 14-bedroom vacation home, townhome, or condo that has amenities like private pools, spas, multiple master bedrooms, game rooms, home theaters, and even themed kids' bedrooms. To take advantage of this special, call 1-866-385-5384. And for more information, you can visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.
See y'all.